colourful music for colourful people.
This is Colourful Radio.
Colourful Radio, old school to the new coin, DAB across London, worldwide, colourfulradio.com, the Gail Heaven Show of Meat Stretch Sailor. Forthcoming in interview here on the show, we got Mint Condition, N. Danby, Misha Paris, and Chocolate. More recently, we've had some classic household names like Tina Marie, Beverly Knight, Eric Benet, Joe, and hot newcomer Melanie Fiona. And of course, we've also had in interview soul music legends Leon Ware and Leroy Burgess. Now, the reason I mention Leon Ware and Leroy Burgess last is because, in my opinion, tonight with us an artist, producer and songwriter that for me can be placed in the same category as those two, because he's continued to take on the torch from Leon Ware and Leroy Burgess. In my opinion, years to come, people will start to really appreciate and recognise the enormous, incredible body of work that this man has given us from what, the mid-80s to the present day. Truly a pioneer in music, over three decades now, worked within the business. Amazing discography includes classic recordings and collaborations with many legendary artists. He's given his Midas touch too, including Michael Jackson, Keith Sweat, Mary J. Blige, Heavy D and Cool Moe D. The list goes on and on. And single-handedly responsible for the whole creation of the new Jack Swing era. Perhaps though he's best known as founder of all-time classic, triple platinum-selling R&B groups Guy and Blackstreet. 25 years have gone by, and now they're at Stretch Taylor's table here in the studio. I must warn the fellas, though, this ain't going to be the usual interview for a mainstream radio station. I ain't going to be asking no questions about girlfriends or anything like that. I ain't going to... None of that jazz. Here on the show, we talk about what we love, and that's the great music. I'm proud to interview another one of my musical heroes tonight, and one of my all-time favourite bands. We bring to you tonight here on Colourful Radio, exclusive interview with multi-platinum selling legendary singer, songwriter, producer with his band, and Chauncey as well in the studio. That's right, in the building, we have Teddy, Chauncey and Blackstreet. How you doing, guys?
How you doing, Stretch?
I'm very well. That was a long intro.
Yeah, it was.
I'm tired
good,
now. How you doing, guys? Oh, you just touched down. Thanks for passing through, you know.
Thanks for having us.
You've only just got off the plane, what, from Heathrow?
Yeah.
Wow, pretty much straight to the studio. I really appreciate that, yeah? Pushing it hard for your show at the weekend. We're also going to get into that later on as well, yeah?
For sure.
So straight off the plane from the States. So it's 2010, Blackstreet is back, reformed properly, yeah?
Yes,
sir. Tell us about that. So you're glad to be back as Blackstreet?
Yes, Chauncey Black and myself.
Yeah, do you want to try that one?
Yeah, try this one.
Yeah, try that one.
Grab that there.
Yeah, check.
That's great, yeah.
Right, pull it down. Yeah, it's Chauncey and myself, and we have two members. Just so that you know, Blackstreet is never less than four members.
Okay, yeah.
Dave Hollister would have made it over with us, but...
Really? Okay.
We had problems with the his passport.
Okay, so Dave's back in the fold as well.
Oh, yes.
Excellent
yes.
stuff. That's what we
four
like to
players,
hear.
Four players.
When we get back, we're preparing for the new album.
Ooh.
And, it's going to be incredible. It's called The Final Four.
Yeah.
And so that people are really, you know, they won't get it twisted. Who's who?
Okay. I can't wait to hear that album.
Yeah. I can't wait for everybody to hear it either.
Yeah. Have you cut some already?
We cut some joints and we have a lot of ideas in mind. Usually when we go in to cut an album, we cut a bunch of songs and then that's how we kind of shape the album.
All right, yeah.
From, you know, many songs.
Okay.
And that's how you got another level in the first Blackstreet album to be an album that you didn't skip a song.
Oh, I long for those days again.
Yeah. I long for them as well because you don't find albums like that today.
No, you certainly don't. So we've got so much to go through, yeah? With yourself, Teddy, as a producer and artist in your own right, of course, to all the groups you've been involved with, to tracks you've written and produced for other artists as well. I can't have you here, obviously, without discussing your past, yeah, and the music you made, and the deep back catalogue of gems they are now, yeah? But let's talk about the future and what's new then. So this new album, is it going to come out on a new label or...?
It's going to come out on a new label, which is our own signature label.
Yeah.
Through our investors. And it will be definitely worldwide.
We'll
have the distribution worldwide. So you won't have to import it.
Excellent.
You'll definitely get it.
Excellent. I'm sure we get it first here at Colourful. I can't wait to bust that new joint. It's going to be incredible. So when's it going to drop then? During officially?
Second to third quarter. We're trying to do a single really quick, but we don't want to make a mistake.
Oh, a Blackstreet album for the summertime? Now that sounds good.
It would be amazing.
Oh. We're just trying to get all the touring out the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can lock down, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just knock it all out at one time.
Yeah. So it's the big live show at the O2 Indigo this Friday.
O2. Yes, sir.
It's Bank Holiday. Come out and party with us, yeah?
Yeah.
We're all going to
be
down there.
It's going to be serious.
Can't
business.
Wait to get there to kiss the ground. You know what I'm saying? Michael Jackson was...
Absolutely.
When he went there to He went sight to see the sight.
Yeah.
So that's the last time, and that's the last building that he was in, which was
that
the
is
O2.
True. Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. Wow.
And that was the first building he was going to perform in, right?
Yeah.
Here.
Right?
Yeah. So I can't wait to get there and just give them this beautiful music and take them back and jam and have fun, get people to laugh, cry, and...
Shout out to everybody that's got tickets because it's going to be some hell of a show.
And if you ain't got your tickets, go get them.
Yes, Ticketmaster.co.uk.
Right.
Get your last minute tickets. It's going to be an amazing show. It's Bank Holiday. Come out and party.
We are in the UK, so I mean, I know a lot of people were like, "Are they really coming?
Are we here?"
So
we here,
that's
here,
why
here,
you know ticket sales, you know, are still going.
Yeah.
But it's going. Now we're in the building. Go out and get your tickets.
I can't believe you did myself. It's amazing. And you got into the show early as well, earlier than any other artist I've ever interviewed. Here for the start of the show.
We're about our business.
That's incredible.
We're about our business.
We definitely about our business.
Very organized. Is that Helen's influence or?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, she stays on it. She, 24/7. It's like.
We'll see an email 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Guys,
Helen,
guys.
Helen, we are on the,
What can we do from
world.
All the way over there?
4 o'clock in the morning. We still asleep. But, so, that's what we need. That's what we need. And that's why we're here today.
So I can't wait to this concert as well. Yeah. Hopefully I'm going to be playing before you guys come on as well. I'm going to definitely get into a nice New Jack Swing set.
No doubt.
That would be incredible.
That
would be a dream come true. Yeah. So tell us about this concert, yeah? What have you got planned for the people?
Well, what we have planned is, I try to be, I'm not as great, as far as doing shows as Michael Jackson, but I try to come close. So... just know that we are going to have a lot of fun. You're definitely going to be on your feet. Just keep your hands up in the air, ready to clap or ready to just pump your fists and
jam.
Jam. We have an incredible live band. We do not come without a live band. So if you ever see a Blackstreet doing a track, that is not us.
That's not us.
So
we know about you.
That's the
Blackstreet. We know about you.
Blackstreet do not do tracks.
Exactly.
You got to pay us a mint to do a track.
Exactly.
A track show. Because, I hate the fakeness.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I do not fake the funk. And funk is not played with a track. If you ever heard of any funk group playing, doing a track show, that is a fake funk group. They're faking the funk.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
And clubs are not big enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, if they could fit our band, we'll do a club. Because that's we're here to give back. We're here to do shows. We're here to please our crowd and not give them less than what we came and what they deserve.
Mm.
Exactly.
So I understand there's a little special part of the show as well. Am I allowed to mention that? The little the tribute?
No.
I'm not? Okay.
You can't mention that. But it's going to be a great show. I can't wait,
We just want everybody to be there. So, go get your tickets.
Yeah.
Blackstreet is definitely in the house.
Or you will just hear about it.
That's right.
Oh, and you'd hate to be one of those people that just heard about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be a classic concert this Friday at the Indigo O2, Blackstreet.
Right.
Teddy Riley and Chauncey. It's going to be wicked.
Wicked.
So I'm looking forward to this album, because in 2010 we desperately need you to bring real R&B back.
Well,
none of this electronic stuff that I'm hearing all the time everywhere else.
See, I think everybody who do that, they just do it and go that one direction. They don't know how to mix it like New Jack Swing.
Mm.
And that's what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if we were to go there, you still will hear Blackstreet and basically the rawness of Blackstreet in there. You know, no one has never done it, you know, like we've done it in our style, our sound, which is the reason why we can come back and do this again, because nobody have tapped into our sound.
Exactly.
So we're looking forward to doing that and really taking people even far beyond, like Earth, Wind & Fire.
Right.
You know,
wow.
Every time Earth, Wind & Fire came, they took you further.
Yeah.
And that's what we look to do. When we came with the first Blackstreet record, you know, we took you to a place that you've never been before in a long time. And then the new people, the new kids, they're like, this is new to us, when we've been studying this all our lives.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We come from church. We come from the old school where, you know, we were disciplined. So we discipline ourselves to study the music, the real music, the real funk. We take you back to the where music was, in R&B, was at its rarest form.
So that's what we do, and
we're going to take you even further with this new album.
Exactly. And we're just going to keep bringing you those classics, because that's what really matters, the classics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why we're still here.
The music just stands the test of time.
You got the new ones, but they're not making classics.
Well, let me tell you something. They're afraid. A lot of people are afraid to get away from what the ordinary, you know, what's happening today. They're afraid to take it to the next level. That's why I applaud people like Lady Gaga and Black Eyed Peas, because they go elsewhere. They don't stay in the vein of electronica. They're just innovative.
Right.
And there's not a lot of groups like that. But there's no singing groups out here.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a crazy situation.
It is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like Jay-Z, he came back and show people that, you know, you can be at any age who you want to be,
right,
and do it. As long as you have good music, you can do it.
Yeah. Tuesday, 9 p.m. till midnight, UK time, the classy side of urban music, bringing real music back to the table in 2010. So I gave you four joints from Blackstreet back to back, gave you No Diggity Fix, Booty Call, and You Blow My Mind. From two incredible albums. 15 years later, it stood the test of time well, as all good music does. Straight classic R&B. You know, I was speaking to you, Teddy, wasn't I, you know, off air, saying that if I had a pound for every time I played No Diggity in the clubs, I would be a very rich man now. Another level. That went, what, four times platinum?
Yes. No, actually, six.
Six times platinum.
Six times, yes. Yes, we are the last singing group to win a Grammy.
Yeah, it went seven.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It was seven, Ted.
The last four member or, you know, in the group categories?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. The facts are coming fast here on Colourful tonight. Blackstreet in the studio, Teddy and Chauncey. The massive concert this Friday at the Indigo O2. If you haven't got your tickets already, ticketmaster.co.uk. Get them now.
Come out and have fun.
Yeah. So tell us about how those tracks come about, particularly No Diggity with Dre, obviously.
Well, it started like this. We did the actual album in Trinidad.
Yeah.
And then when we came back from Trinidad, we felt like we wasn't finished. But when I came back, I had got sick massively. I was about three weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
I spent home in the bed, finding out that my ex was cheating on me while I was gone. And it just got me, like, all creativity just went to zero.
Out the window,
The window. And then the guys kept going. Well, they kept doing their vocals.
Chauncey Black kept them going.
Chauncey kept them going, and they were cutting vocals. And then I think they just gave me some time to really just get myself together. And then they came by the house. And
yeah, we sent them some records home.
They sent me records home so I can get the you know, get back in the swing of things.
Yeah,
and when they sent me this one record, which was Don't Leave, they sent that to me with the vocals, you know, what they did to the vocals. Of course, it wasn't finished, but it gave me enough inspiration to get back in the studio.
Yeah.
No matter what happened to me, I knew that this record was my future, my next,
my next baby. Yeah, yeah. It's
your destiny to do it. And I just put what happened behind me and just finished the album. And then I even got even more creative and motivated when I got there in the studio. That's when we came up with the last song after Don't Leave. We came up with
No Diggity.
No Diggity.
The last record on the album.
And it's the last record that you did for the album as well.
Last record we recorded and everything.
And then boom, what was it? The first single, was it?
It's the first single.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you this. I want everybody to know that no one believed in that song but me. No one, like, I'm telling you, even my guys, they were sitting behind me like, I don't know if I'm singing that. And they pushed me to sing it. That's the reason why I'm singing the first verse. Now, you know, all the hits,
It was just such a different record.
It was a way different record. It was off.
Like a blues.
It was out of the box. That's what I do. I think out of the box because I know people want to hear out of the box songs. They want to hear something different. Right. They don't want to just dance to the same thing. This is almost like a mixtape. You're dancing to this record that sounds like this other artist, like this. And that's what's happening today.
Right.
So we like to have that out of the box record or album that people will just say, okay, this is clever, this is next level. And that's why it was called that, you know.
Yeah.
But the last song was No Diggity. Big ups to my guy, Mr. Stewart, who passed away, who wrote that song with me. And that song was an inspiration to both of us because while we were creating it, I was just like walking around, keep singing this, "Sure to get down, good Lord." And I kept just singing that. Like, it just reminded me of the blues. So I said, I want to get blues, you know, with the record.
And also,
but
we,
keep it hip hop.
Right. And also, we took the, you know, we kind of had robbed our first album with the hook off of a
LL Cool J.
A remix on our song called Like the Way You Work.
I Like the Way You Work.
Yeah.
So that's how we got to
I Like the Way You Work, Kid.
So,
then
how Dr. Dre got on the record. Well, first of all, I've noticed I was with Queenpin and IHOP maybe about a month and a half before doing, matter of fact, 2 months or 3 months. It was about two and a half, three months.
2 months, yeah.
I met her in the IHOP and she came up to me like, you know, rah-rah style. She said, "I rap." And I said, "Well, shorty, come to the studio. And I want to hear you rap since you say you rap." And she got nervous when she got to the studio, but she still spit for me. And when she spit for me, I said to her, "You know, I ain't got nothing for you right now, but as soon as I get something, you'll be the first chick. You'll be my Little Kim."
Yeah.
And for sure, she was my Little Kim, and I put her on this hit record, which is how people got to know who she is.
Yeah.
Queenpin, Party Ain't a Party.
Uh-huh.
And how we got Dr. Dre on the record was Dre was the only person outside that was involved with Interscope that believed in the record just as much as I did.
Okay, right.
Dre was told Jimmy Iovine, "Tell Teddy when he do this record, I want to be in the video." That's what he said, literally, verbatimly. So I said to Jimmy, I said, "Nah." Because I was going back to when we were trying to get Dr. Dre or Snoop Dogg to rap on one of our records.
Right, right.
And Suge came to see me and Chauncey personally and said to us, "If you can't beat us, join us."
Okay.
That's what he said. Basically, he wanted us to sign with Def Row. He wanted me to bring Lil Man Records into Def Row. And I told him, I said, "I got just as much backup as you. I don't need you." And I could beat you if I want to. If it comes to a fight or whatever, you know, my crew is deep. Yeah. So he was like, "Alright, you know, just let me know what y'all want to do. But if y'all want Snoop Dogg or any of the Death Row on there, you gotta come into Death Row to be a part of, you know, having any of our rappers."
Yeah,
so
yeah,
when Dr. Dre said that, I said, "This is a good time to get Dr. Dre on our record."
So he was separated then.
Yeah, he was separated then. He had just left.
So it's perfect timing.
So I said, "You know what? Tell Dr. Dre he can't be in the video. If he can't spit on a record, he can't be in the video. So give me 16, and we can rock this video together.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He gave us 16, and he shot it. We shot it over the ISDN, because that's when we didn't have an internet like, you know, back then.
Yeah.
So we shot it over the ISDN line, got him a copy of the instrumental. He took the instrumental, spit on top of it, shot us the acapella. We put it into the music, mixed it, shot it back to Interscope. They put it out that Friday.
And what was crazy is that when they found out that Dre was on the record, when Suge found out that Dre was on the record,
he tried to stop it.
He tried to stop it. And
they copied No Diggity.
Tried to copy it. Tried to.
With Aaron Hall.
Aaron Hall.
And Jodeci. Casey and JoJo. Uh-huh. Jodeci.
And Tupac.
And Tupac. You remember
what
that record?
Was that? What record was that?
I don't even think it made it to London, because our record
was
just
called?
So...
I'm trying to think what it is.
No Diggity just crushed everything.
Yeah.
It crushed their record in like one week. They played it for a week, and then you ain't hear it no more.
Yeah. They tried to jack it.
They tried to jack our record.
Tunes and crushing Death Row.
No, we did. We crushed them with the No Diggity record, because they tried to copy it. Wow. They took the sample and sampled it.
Yeah.
And you know how... Yeah, I'm just... Like I said... My crew and my organization was just as powerful as Suge, because he can throw out a record in 2 days.
Yeah.
I can throw out a record in one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I had got it pressed up, got it all to my DJs,
so all to the mix DJs,
and on the street.
Yeah,
it was
and
a wrap.
And that was a wrap. I had to have it. Jimmy had to put it out that Friday, because I did a blitz on the DJs.
Yeah.
I laced them with the record, and they played it right away, just to shut down Suge's record.
Okay, that's fascinating stuff.
Yeah,
here.
It's crazy.
It's deep stories, deep music stories.
Every single track has got
thing,
a story.
And the same thing. After they heard that record, after they heard Another Level, that's when you know Tupac came out with the dun 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 dun
dun dun. That was like a musical beat. It wasn't no beef,
right?
But it was like competition.
Yeah.
So he dropped the "I Ain't Mad at You" when we had
another artist who did the same thing, Puffy. When Puffy dropped the Mace record,
he got that from us.
Exactly.
This is a music deep stories,
stories.
But it's good to tell them now, because it's way back, you know.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then when we did the remix to Fix with the rock band with
that's
Slash,
when Puffy came out. Puffy did Benjamins.
Then the Benjamins.
With the rock Benjamins.
Oh, right, I see.
Everybody was trailing, because we knew the next.
Exactly.
And the next level, we knew the direction of music and what to try.
That's why
they
had us on all their records.
So that's what's happening right now. They're just waiting for you to come back so they can copy you again.
Puff, me and Puff's supposed to get together anyway to do some records, you know.
Yeah.
Just waiting for him to really get it together. We already getting it together, so we have our investors and our people ready, you know, when we get back, and we're just going to give it a go and nail that record and get it back out here to the true music lovers.
Wow. We can't wait for that. Now, as I said off air as well, Fix was always one of my favourites on the album. I just love the bass line on that record. That just kicks in the club.
Wow. Oh. Well, you will hear the beautiful songs. The songs that you haven't heard the last tour.
Yeah.
You will hear this
You'll be playing
tour.
Them on Friday, yeah?
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can't wait. Now, Teddy, you remind me in some ways of Leroy Burgess, in fact. Enormous amount of material you've done for different artists and all that sort of stuff, yeah. Not always in like crazy disguises though, like him.
It's so crazy. I used Leroy Burgess as my alias name in hotels.
Do you know what I heard?
I do. I've been using it for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And you'll see it on the last Blackstreet album too.
Yeah, you'll see it on the last Blackstreet album.
That's respectful.
It was produced by Leroy Burgess.
That's true.
Do you know what I always used to know when it was a Teddy Riley production back in the days? Always had that swing and make you want to dance. You know, the dancing of that era was amazing, wasn't it? You know,
it sure was. People were just doing whatever they want on a dance floor because my music back then, or New Jack Swing, the movement, because there were other people who did New Jack Swing who couldn't maybe get me to produce it. They got somebody to really, like, taper and really copy the sound.
Yeah.
You know, so I still give them credit for it because there were great records out there like Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation. That's New Jack Swing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Babyface. What's the record? What's his New Jack Swing record? Which is, he got the As Soon As I Get Home From Work, that album.
Uh-huh.
New Jack Swing is on there. You had to try it. Back in the day, you had to try it.
Yeah.
You had to taste it.
Yeah.
So that's what New Jack Swing is about. It was a movement, and it became its own genre.
Yeah, the energy was incredible that came out of the music back then. I mean, I was a youth then, so that was like,
right.
I was just getting into clubs then.
Exactly. It a lot of fun then.
Yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of dancing.
And we're going to have a lot of fun on Friday.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I might even do the Running Man on stage as well during my set.
We're going to have you do that, too.
So, Teddy, I think you must be the first producer to bridge the gap between soul, R&B, and hip-hop.
That's what they say.
Must be.
I just like for people to talk about it, and yeah. I like to just do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I've always been. That's the reason why you haven't heard really from me as far as talking and doing a lot of interviews, because it was like before I was in Guy, all I wanted to do was be heard, not seen.
Yeah.
Until my manager at the time, Gene Griffin, said, you got to be seen.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And so people can put the face with the music.
Mm.
And that's why I joined Guy. I don't come across as a singer. I'm an entertainer. And I do what my music tells me to do.
Mm.
So that's what New Jack Swing is about. New Jack Swing told people how to dance.
Right.
Fed that energy into people, and that's what the music was about.
Yeah,
energy.
Fantastic, movement. Fantastic era.
You gotta move.
Looking back on it now. So, what do you think now? What's the state of American radio? Because whenever I have a US artist on the station, they always complain about, you know, it's so like middle of the road US radio. They find it difficult to find stations like us at Colorful. Do you find that in the States as well?
That is true. Like, you and I should probably get together and do a New Jack Swing radio station for America.
Cool.
Satellite. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be nice, yeah.
I think it would be incredible. And
that's
what we're talking about now. I was supposed to do something like that, like what Keith Sweat is doing. He's doing a Quiet Storm. Like Keith
Is
Sweat.
He really?
Okay. Yeah. The Sweat Hotel.
The Sweat Hotel.
Yeah. But I look to really venture off into that as well, because I think it's needed. We don't have a radio station that play, you know, that movement or even great R&B music.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
what happened to the stations? You know, like Hot 97, the station like that, are they just playing the new R&B? So they're not sort of looking back at the...
Yeah,
the
they're, stuff? They're following the trend.
Yeah.
They're following
set by the
trend.
Record labels? The trend set by the record labels?
Yeah.
It's an agenda.
Yeah.
They got to get a check.
Yeah.
They got to play with the check, say play.
But at the end of the day, I believe it always falls back to that real R&B. You know what I'm saying? Come
yes,
back
sir.
10, 15 years later, but it's definitely going to come back.
Mm. Yeah. So now I'd like to get into, which is, in my opinion, the best contemporary R&B album of all time. It was the first Blackstreet album.
Yeah.
So positive, lots of uplifting music on there. And you don't really hear albums like that anymore. Absolutely no fillers at all on the album. Very up-tempo, a lot of it. You know, a lot of the American R&B that comes out now is, you know, it's very down-tempo. You've got like 10 down-tempo tracks and maybe one up-tempo track that you could possibly play in a club.
Right.
And is that still the same in the States now? Are you going to come back with a, you know, mid-tempo type album?
We're going to come back.
Like you usually do?
The mixed up-tempos with the ballads
and
the remixes and different things like that. You know, just to kind of keep it interesting, especially for the DJs.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because that's who support us.
Right.
More than anything, the DJs and the radio support our music.
Yeah.
So we're looking to do that for sure.
Mm. So speaking of this album, then let's get back into this classic album. Now this one, for all her hard work, we're going to dedicate this one to Helen tonight. Because I know this is her favourite. You know what it is, Helen?
I know what it is.
You know what it is, Teddy?
Y'all get ready.
You know
for
what it is, Chauncey?
Joy.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you guys introduce this, yeah?
Colorful Radio right here. TR and Chauncey Black.
No doubt.
We give you Joy with my man Stretch.
Ooh. Radio.
Colourful Radio.
Where music hasn't lost its soul.
Funky.